Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing unto thee. For you, O Lord, have called us on the journeys that we cannot see the end of, on paths that are yet untrodden and through perils unknown. Grant us faith to go forward with good courage, not knowing where we go, but trusting that your hand will guide us and your love will sustain us. For into your hands, O Lord, we commend all that we are, our bodies, our souls, and all things. Amen. Well, here we are, the last Sunday in Epiphany. The Transfiguration of our Lord. Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. Come in and get ashes on your forehead. Have communion with us. Have a little service. We'll be talking about repentance. But more than that, we'll be talking about forgiveness. Because what is repentance without forgiveness? It's shame. But Christ took our shame upon himself when he hung on the cross so he could free us to have that perfect hope of the forgiveness that comes through him. So come and join us Wednesday at 7 o'clock. We will not be having a dinner beforehand, but we'll start having dinners after that. So come this Ash Wednesday. It'll be good to get together. Epiphany starts with the baptism of our Lord, right after the season of Christmas, right after the day of Epiphany, January 6th, where the three magi came and offered we don't know how many, they offered three gifts, gold, incense, and myrrh. And in the baptism of Jesus, the Father spoke from heaven. This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. The Holy Spirit descends into Jesus as a dove. It's the only spot in Scripture where all three persons of the Trinity are clearly delineated and established. And then we have this voice from God coming on the last Sunday in Epiphany. The circumstances are much different, although in Luke, Jesus prayed immediately after his baptism, and that's when the Father sent the Spirit down into him and spoke to him. Here, Jesus takes his inner circle, Peter, John, and James, up to a mountain, and he's praying. And while he is praying, something happens to him. Have you experienced that? While you're praying, something happens to you? Well, it happened to Jesus big time. He's praying, and all of a sudden, his face starts to change, and his clothes become whiter than a flash of lightning. Can you believe how white that would be? It changed him. And the disciples are sleepy, but then they wake up, and they see Jesus is speaking to Elijah and Moses. Well, why Elijah and Moses? Well, Elijah was the prophet. He was the prophet that, among other things, he overcame these priests of Baal. He was having a challenge with them. They were having kind of a shootout, so to speak. They were all gathered around, and they decided they would build two sacrifices. And we'll see which God accepts the sacrifice. So Baal prophets make their sacrifice. They slaughter the bulls. They put it on there. They start dancing. They start dancing around. They start slicing themselves open with stones. And Elijah's mocking him. Sing louder. Maybe your God is going to the bathroom. Man, you just can't hear. I mean, that's what it says in Hebrew. I'm not making this up. Yeah. And so nothing happens. So they decide they're going to dump water all over the sacrifice of Elijah. So it's floating in water. And God sends down this lightning and totally consumes the sacrifice. So we have Elijah, who would defeat the prophets of Baal, speaking with Jesus, who would defeat the power of the devil, sin, and death itself. And we have Moses, who is the bringer of law, who brought the Ten Commandments down. And we'll talk about him in a little bit more. But he brought down the Ten Commandments, the way that we should live our lives. And then he's talking to Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Ten Commandments. Now, let me ask you a question here. What do you think is more difficult to keep? The Ten Commandments or everything that Jesus has said? Yeah, I'm with you, David. I think because Jesus talks about the Ten Commandments too. It's everything, because God is going to say, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." That's a challenge, to listen and obey. But we haven't got to that yet. Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets. So when the disciples woke up and they saw Jesus between Elijah and Moses, they said, "Let's make three shelters. Let's make three shelters." Now, that's almost like saying these other two are equal to Jesus. Well, you'll each have a little tabernacle, but no, that's not the case at all. They were only supporting actors to point to the coming of the Christ. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. He is the fulfillment of all of the prophets. Now, I think it's important that the disciples would see Jesus standing between these two outstanding characters. Now, I don't know how they knew him. How do they know it was Moses and Elijah? What do you think? Do they have pictures on the tabernacle wall of this is Moses and this is Elijah? Do they have their names written on their back of their jerseys or something, their robes? However it was, they knew who it was. And it's important that they saw that, because they could see that these two holy people that God had brought back from the dead and set here alive with Jesus in their glory, it was easy to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen? You see Jesus like that and you're going, wow, it's glory. He's the Son of God. Now, how hard would it be to believe that Jesus is the Son of God as he's hanging on a cross between two criminals? That's your God? You got to be kidding me. That's your God broken and beaten, hanging between two criminals? How could you possibly believe in something like that? How could you believe that that created the world? How could you believe that that created everything visible and invisible? You got to be nuts. So God gave him a taste of his glory before he showed his suffering and the depth of his love for us by doing that. And then we go back to the Old Testament reading that we had, where Moses talking to God. Did you guys hear that? I hope you read along with it. But he, in the Old Testament lesson, Moses is up talking to God and his face gets like lightning. The Jews, when he came back down, couldn't stand to look at it. He had to put a veil over his face, because something happens when we're in the presence of God. Amen. Something happens to us. And then Paul writes about it. Paul writes about it in our second reading. This is what he says, starting at verse 14b. They're talking about the veil that was over the Jews' face, and the veil still is there when they talk about the prophets, because the veil is only removed in Christ. It's when Christ comes that we truly see God's glory. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, and we're being transformed into his glory, by degree to glory. Isn't that a beautiful thought? It happens. When we spend time with God, our faces change. We change. Let me tell you a story about this woman who woke up one Sunday morning, and she's just not feeling like church today, not feeling like anything. So she elbows her husband and says, "Babe, I don't feel like going to church today." And he looked over at her and goes, well, you kind of have to. You're the pastor. Do you think pastors ever feel that way? I don't really feel like going to church today. No, of course not. We are like perfect little things like that. No, of course we struggle with the same thing you do. We feel like I don't really want to go. But you know, something happens when I spend time with Christ, you know, even on my way to church. I set my cruise control like at 68 miles an hour. And I get into number 3 lane and I'm driving up 5 to 15 from Imperial Beach and just giving people all the room they want. I'm just feeling very generous with my road. I'll share it with other people. And then I get here and I see your faces and I see your love for God and your concern for one another. And I just start changing inside. And if I had this grumpy Dave look on my face, it starts to get to average Dave. And then we come in church and we recognize the presence of God in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And it starts to get into me. And then we sing an opening song. And that song, that music is just lifting my soul and tickling my spirit. And pretty soon, in spite of myself, I'm smiling. Even behind a mask, I'm smiling. And then we hear the word of God. Oh, then we do our confession. God takes away my burdens. I confess to him that, you know, God, I don't know how you can even call me your son, but you do. Thank you. And he restores me. Then we hear the word. We hear the Old Testament lesson. We hear the epistle. We hear the gospel. And then you get to hear me stumbling around up here trying to explain it to you and tell you stories about things. And then we have prayers because we care about each other and we care about the world. So we ask God to intervene on the behalf of the world. And then we come to the culmination of all of our worship, which is receiving the bread, the body of Christ, in with and under the bread, and the blood of Christ, in with and under the wine or the grape juice, whatever you choose to take. And Christ is present inside of us. And when Christ comes into our bodies, it's the digestive process. It goes all the way through us. It's like spinach going through Popeye. Bom, 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 bom. You know, we're out there ready to take the world. And now Grumpy Dave is Super Dave. I'm empowered by Christ, and I'm ready to go out and tell people about God's great love in Jesus. I don't need to go back to St. Mattress. I want to talk to people. I don't need to be in bed. Get up. Get moving. Get on board. And that's what God does through his Spirit. It changes us. Amen? I don't know if I'll ever have to wear a veil. But being in the presence of God changes us. I can't help it. I don't know if I'm the only one that feels that way. And I know I'm not, because the Bible talks about a lot of people. I know you feel that way too. You know, we sang a song today that talked about you, how did the words go about chasing me? Your goodness is always after me. Your goodness is running. You know where that comes from? Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You know, the Hebrew for that is much stronger. Surely goodness and mercy shall radically pursue me, shall chase me down, grab me, and smother me with love and hugs and goodness. Surely goodness and mercy shall drag me to the ground and throw away my suffering and sighing and fill me with the spirit and love of Christ. That's what the Hebrew means. So when you hear that benign, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. No, man, his goodness is chasing after me. It's going to get you. Let him have you. Let this encounter with God change our countenance. Let us be who he would have us to be. Am I done yet? I don't know. I'm kind of off script right now. David, you're in the first service too, weren't you? Have I said anything that I said? Yeah. Okay. I'm kind of off script here, but that's okay because I'm preaching to you from my heart and the Spirit is in my heart and I'm still on text at least. So, our text starts off with the words, after 8 days, 8 days after Jesus had said this, what is it that Jesus said? Well, Jesus described to his disciples in previous verses that he was going to be arrested, that he was going to be beaten, that he was going to be killed, and on the third day be raised again from the dead. It's the first time. It's the first time he told the disciples that their picture of what the kingdom of God on this earth would look like is not going to happen. He is not going to defeat Rome. He is not going to drive out the oppressiveness of these Roman soldiers. He is not going to eliminate things by force. He is going to come into this world, and with love, he's going to change it. But it's not going to happen all at once. It's going to happen degree by degree. So after he had said these things, and then he talked about the cost of being a disciple. He said, we've got to pick up our cross and follow him. We've got to deny ourselves. What good is it? What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul? For what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus is saying you're going to have choices to make. It's either the stuff of the world or it's me. What's it going to be? You can't have one foot here and one foot here. It doesn't work that way. You need to firmly be in the camp of Jesus Christ, or the world's going to have its way with you. And the disciples weren't ready to hear it. They needed something, transfiguration, to push them over that hump. And we need something too. We need the Lord's Supper every week. We need our fellowship. We need to hear the word of God. We need to be in service together as often as we can be to get us over that hump. Because life is, how many of you have experienced life exactly the way you thought it should be? Any of you? Has life gone the way that you planned it out when you were a kid? No, I'm going to take that as a no. It doesn't. Disappointments happen. They happen all the time. But we've got to remember that the same God that's a God when things go the way we want it to is the same God of when things don't go the way that we thought they should. Because I can tell you from my life experience that when things didn't go the way that I thought they should go, and I thought God had forsaken me, and I thought that I was all on my poor itty-bitty self, all alone, that I looked back after it was over, and I saw God's hand. I saw God's hand patting me on the head. Good Davy boy. You're a good Davy boy. It's going to be okay. I just didn't feel it because I was so angry. I was so upset that things didn't go my way. But God has a way that's not my way. And when those two things collide, guess which one is going to win? I can do everything I can to make my way come true, but God has a better plan. It's so much easier for me to submit my will to God's will than me to try to force my will upon God. Good luck with that one. Hasn't worked for me yet. So in this world where it's so crazy, when this country that has 45% of the nuclear weapons is making war on a country that was peaceful and non-aggressive, and we're wondering, where is that going to land us? Where is that going to put us? Just remember that God's seen this before. That Jesus walked in an area where there was terrible oppression. The Romans were terrible oppressors to their people. The Greeks before them were terrible oppressors. The people before them were terrible oppressors. All through our history, we've dealt with people like Vladimir Putin. And you know what? God is still on the throne. And he's going to be on the throne through all of this, but we can pray for those people who are suffering. We can pray that God would lighten their burdens, that God could change some hearts, beginning with our own. And may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.